I'd like to thank the great God of heaven for this opportunity and pray that the things that I do will be pleasing unto his sight. And I'd also like to thank Brother Carey for allowing me this opportunity as well. As he was talking about influence this morning, and it's a great thing about how people are influenced, and the great thing about the Bible is that it is an influence. And if we're using the Bible to influence us in the things that we do from day to day, then things wouldn't change so much from congregation to congregation or church to church, because the Bible is one flat line. It's just one flat line, and it goes from one flat line all the way, and all of it is about the same thing. It's about salvation through Jesus Christ. So if we use the Bible for our influence, then that's what we're going to stay on, that steady line. I believe that a lot of people don't go in that direction, but I do appreciate this opportunity. My lesson for this evening is, whose fruit is influencing us? And it's interesting because it's from Galatians. It's from Galatians 5, but unlike most people, I don't immediately go to Galatians 21 and 2:23. I always want to make sure we stop at 19 to 21. And then make sure that's not the influences that we have in our lives. So, but that's your thing. And what I wanted to know, and first of all, just to begin to say that I'm honored and privileged to stand before you, and that I do all to appreciate God for giving me this opportunity. And this evening we're wanting to be pleasing to him as part of this worship. And of course, I always ask you to pray for me. I'm asking you to pray for strength to maintain my faith in a world of negative influence. I was glancing at Twitter and someone was saying, you do not have to go to church or listen to some flawed preacher to connect with God. And I was wondering what his influence was. Now, obviously, he wanted to influence someone else if he put it on Twitter, but I wanted to know, well, what was he trying to do and why? So I pray for him, because it seemed that he had a negative influence to put something like that on the Twitter to try to get people not to go to church and think they have that full connection with God that they cannot have. And what that made me want to know is, what is influencing us? And tonight I'm going to do a little bit of reading. And first I want to go to the book of Isaiah, and I'm going to go to chapter 6. And I'm going to start at verse 1, and I'm going to let you know what influences me. And that's Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, if you want to go over there. But as the Holy Spirit began working on me or in me some years ago, I began to have this thought resonate within me. I did not think of it myself, but it had been mentioned by a mentor that I had. And after I understood what it meant, I began to say that. And it became my motivation and at times my strength, and especially at my times of solace when I needed that strength and I needed something to push me on and make me go forward. And in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And then I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the thongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. In Isaiah 6 and 8, and it says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? And then I said, said I, here I am, send me. The Septuagint renders it, whom shall I send and whom will go to this people? The Chaldee, who shall I send to prophesy and who will go to teach? So that's one of the things that I have began to hear this brother say, and once I read it and understood it, I immediately believed it, and it was my influence, and a lot of times I'll say, here I am, send me. It doesn't mean every time that I say, here I am, send me, that I'm going to be the one that gets sent, but you're not going to have to look for somebody to do the work of the Lord. I am willing to take the Bible, allow it to influence me, to be the one who puts himself out there to teach and preach the people of God. That takes a lot, as Brother Carey said this morning, it's a lot of studying, it's a lot of context, it's a lot of going over your own work, it's a lot of sitting alone and going out and listening to other people and asking a lot of questions about why and what is influencing us. So if you you may ask, or you may have asked as I was reading that, what does it have to do with the scripture I read? Well, here I am, send me, as I said, motivates me to bring the word of God to the people so they may be moved and lifted to bear good fruit. Your scripture reading for this evening is the exact opposite of bearing good fruit. And that's, if you know it, I will bring it up. But can be an example of the fruit that some bear as they try to say they do the things they do in the Lord's name. And one thing I always say is that some of the things you do in the Lord's name, you're not doing in the name of the Lord. You're doing it in the name of whoever is influencing you. And that's one of the things that I thought about when I was reading that Twitter. It's like, I don't know how many people follow this gentleman, but imagine the groups of people that follow people on Twitter that he's now saying, don't go to church because I'm flawed. Yes, I am flawed. But guess what? I'm trying to motivate you to do better. He was trying to motivate people to do worse. So remember, when Jesus said, and they told Jesus, and I think it was Matthew, where they said, have we not done this and that in your name? And what did Jesus say? He said something like, go away, you worker of iniquity. And of course, iniquity is lawlessness, defined also as gross injustice and wickedness. Remember where it says, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins. We cannot use injustice and wickedness to represent faithfulness and truth. So whose influence should we be under? Well, we should be under the influence of the Lord. We should be under the influence of God. We should be under the influence of those prophets of old that had to take such a beating because they were what? Well, here comes Elijah. And they said Elijah was a bearer of bad news. Well, he wasn't. He was just telling them what they were doing wrong. They were doing what they were doing, supposed to be doing, Elijah wouldn't have had anything to do. But somebody had to say, God said you didn't do that right. Whose influence are you under? Or we want to look back at Saul, who said what? The people. I was doing this because the people wanted me to do it. And he said, that ain't what God said do. And what did Samuel do? He took that thing and he hacked up that king and said, that's what God said to do. Whose influence are you under? It can't be under the influence of the people if they're not following a God. So we need to follow God so we can be under his influence all the time, no matter what the threat. So that's one of the things that was so important to me. As I said, it took me about 3 or 4 years after my baptism to get into it. And when you get into it, they can't even drag you out of it. It's an unfortunate thing. Look, not only can they not drag you out of it, you can't drag yourself out of it. I don't believe that even though I'm under the influence that I believe of the Holy Spirit and the words of God, that it hasn't been a few times that I said, okay, I'm tired. I'm done. I'm going someplace else. I'm never going to do this. Put my Bibles up. And the next day I'm on my phone reading the Bible. So when you have that influence, it doesn't go away. You want it to go away sometimes because you fall into the influence of people who are trying to do just that. And guess what? Sorry to say, some of those people are in the church. And they want more than anything else for you to give up.
But we don't.
And they're constantly telling you they don't want you to give up. So you have to have an influence that's stronger than them. And you actually do, because you have an entire Bible. I think Brother Carey mentioned this morning that those men did not even have a Bible. I mean, they had what little bit they had. They had the Old Testament, which we often go to. A lot of the older ministers go to. I grew up in the New Testament. Spiritually grew up in the New Testament. I do go back to the Old Testament, as you see. I had to learn to go back to the Old Testament to figure out where I could use and apply that information. That's why that was so important to me when I got that from Isaiah, where I could tell people, here I am, go send me. Hey, if you're going to send me on top of the roof to fix the air conditioner, if I can do it, send me. If you're going to send me up front to teach the class, if you think I can do it, send me. Let's not have people searching for people to do the things that God needs us to do. Because I do not believe that you're going to sit there and laugh and make fun and heckle me if you know I'm trying to teach the Word of God, even if I'm new. We should never be that type of person where Paul comes in and says, you ought to be doing anything. And not that I necessarily agree 100% that he was saying you all should be teachers, but what he was saying is you ought to know it well enough to be a teacher. You ought to be good enough at it that you can use some part of it to help somebody else. See, we need to be that. We need to have that kind of influence. We need to have the influence that says, here I am, send me. And part of here I am, send me is exactly what I said, is when you're sitting home, you say, here's the Bible, get into it, find out what it's saying, grab a verse, because I tell people all the time, I don't know what every verse in the Bible means. So, you know, sometimes I have to read over about three or four of them because I know what the one I want to get to means. But guess what? I can't just read that one. I have to try to read the, I'm going to read you the whole thing, and that way it'll all should come together. So that's one of the things that influences me as I move forward in whatever it is that God would have me do. And right now he has me processing mail, but that's okay. I'm all right with that. That's pretty fun. It's kind of tiring. But if he brings me back to this stage, I want to make sure that I'm still doing what he would have me do. And I always say he'll have you do what he wants you to do because he doesn't want you to give up. Now, in that case, I had been doing church stuff since 2014. Had worked in a church building all day long. So going outside of the church, even when I was here, I was thinking, well, God is taking me from this. Well, no, Satan was trying to put me someplace where it says, I'm going to influence you now. So, I sat out into my break room and I didn't know people. And I'm a Christian. And the guy next to me said, I'm a Christian too. The young lady said, I'm a Catholic. I said, okay, everybody's all church folk. We're going to talk to church sometime. So we do that from time to time. But we do talk about it, and they know that we're all in that same boat. Because one of the things that will influence us and help us while we're being influenced is understanding some things why we should be influenced by the Bible. And one of the things that I picked up, and I'm going to ask you if you are following me, I'm going to go to Romans chapter 10, and I'm going to start reading at verse 5. That's Romans chapter 10, and I'm going to start reading at verse 5. And because I believe that the biggest part of the salvation is the salvation that we all get from the Bible should influence us to follow the Bible and should influence us to be about Jesus Christ and him crucified and things he did on that cross. That about the saying at the cross. I don't know, but at the cross. Now, I'm not like Brother Ray. I can't get up here and sing the whole thing, but I can sing at the cross. But what he did at that cross and that gave us the opportunity for eternal life, that's the thing that ought to motivate us to want to listen to him and do what he says, because he gives us what? Well, he gives us eternal life. He gave us eternal life. I loved it. There was a song we just sang where it says, what he did so that I could live, what Jesus says, for he that wants to, who protects his life, loses his life, but he that gives his life has life. It was in that song. And I was like, yes, yeah, I didn't know the song. I couldn't sing it. But it was in the song. And I was like, that's it right there. Because he gave his life because he was going to get his life back. What did he say? They don't take my life. I lay my life down. So guess what? That's an influence. Take my life. But guess what? If I follow Christ, I'm going to get back up. And it says that, and that's my influence. Now, don't think I run around telling people to shoot me, because I don't. If I have the opportunity, I will run. And I told Sister Tracy, stop wearing them flippy shoes, because you need to run too. And what we're going to hope is that they run after me so you can get away. But if, of course, they go after her, then I got to turn around and come get them. But you learn how to run too. So don't always have on some flip-flops or some sandals. Every now and then, put on some tennis shoes. Because I will run. But if it comes down to it, I know that my life is going to be with Christ. And that's the influence of the Bible. And that's what makes me say, okay, if that's what it's got to be, it's got to be. That's where I'm going. And that's where I keep my mind focused. And that's where it is that I believe I'm going to be. And yeah, I'm going to be one of those people that if it doesn't work out that way, because you know how the scene is, right? When they have everybody at the pearly gates talking to Peter, and you know, and you get to go one way or the other. Well, me and Peter are going to have the conversation. Because, what do you mean? What did they do? I'm not going to go quietly. But you know, we got to do what's right. We have to do what's right. So Romans 10, starting at verse 5. And actually in some of your Bibles, depending on which one you have, it's subtitled, and I put a little bit into some of the subtitles once I figure out they match what's going on in the chapter, is the message of salvation to all. And that's just a beautiful message. In 5 it says, for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man that doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith, speak of this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith, which we do what? Which we preach. Romans 10 and 9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with thy heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And 11 says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all them that call upon him. For who shall ever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then Romans 10 and 14 says, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So most of you can't hear it unless somebody knows what to say. Most of the people who study what to say, they're your preachers. So you can't say you can sit home and why not listen to a flawed man, because that flawed man is trying to give you a truth that is not fallible, a truth that has no flaws. Doesn't mean that his personality, he's trying to be a good servant. That doesn't mean he's not going to mess up. So you can't tell anybody about that. So if you remember what Isaiah said, when he said, here I am, send me. So the Lord sent Isaiah. And you remember what the Holy Spirit who said, set aside Paul and Barnabas. Paul continues by saying, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good, bear good fruit. Here I am, send me. that they might know salvation and bear good fruit. Paul said, because not all obey the gospel, so we are here to preach and teach that all might hear the gospel and bear good fruit. So let's not get the two mixed up. Galatians 5:19, and here it is. This is your scripture reading, and it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, and there is adultery and fornication and uncleanness and lasciviousness and idolatry and witchcraft and hatred and variance and emulations and wrath and strife and seditions and heresies. It's envying and murder and drunkenness and revel and things like this. And see, teaching these things will be teaching these things that they will not bear good fruit, only teaching to avoid these things. So we teach people to avoid these things. We teach people not to do those things. We tell them what it is, but we want them to bear good fruit, so we tell them, don't do those things. But you rarely ever hear anybody quote those scriptures. So Paul says, of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in the past time, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up, because I don't want to keep you here all night. It's about seven more pages. So it's, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So whatever that guy was doing this morning, when I checked on Twitter, y'all pray for me because I don't know why I was on Twitter first thing this morning. But I seem to always be there. But what he was trying to do was use a negative influence in a positive light. He was saying, you don't need God. I mean, you don't need a preacher to connect with God. So you don't need a church family to connect with God. And he didn't realize he was wrong. And he didn't realize that he may have some influence over some other people on Twitter. So I told him, you need to read a Bible. Because that's what he needs to do. And then you need to go to church. And that's what you need to do. Because our influence starts here with us. And if we follow that Bible and we keep ourselves on that, guess what? We're doing what we can do. And then that'll help us when in our own personal lives to stay out of 19 and 21 and go to 23 and 20 through 25. It's the influence that God has over us because we believe in him. And that's the influence we need. And that's the influence that always makes sure that we try to use the word of God correctly. And we'll also know that it'll help us accept that we missed it, but we're trying and we're willing to change it rather than argue for 2 or 3 hours that I didn't get it. Well, I tell you, okay, I got it, but I ain't changing. We follow the word of God. So always, like I said, I appreciate it, and I certainly appreciate you all being here. And, you know, always use the Bible as your influence. And you can always take that walk along the right path. And like I said, I do appreciate Brother Carey allowing me this. I appreciate God for allowing me to be here. And I hope the things that I've said and done today are pleasing in his sight. And thank you so much. And I think we're going to stand and have a word, and then Brother Carey will read the song.